Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Word on the street is it's Thursday, July 16th. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hello again. Good to be here.
It's been forever. I hope you're okay.
Oh, I am. I hope you're okay.
Yes. There may have been a slight podcasting injury yesterday before the released edition of the show was recorded. And everything's fine. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
I'm very unconvinced it's Thursday.
Yeah, Charlotte doesn't believe it. That's why I went with word on the street instead of a full-on declaration, because not everyone's entirely certain of this. So, like I said, I've heard sources familiar with the matter have informed me that it's Thursday. Those sources are the calendar I have installed on my computer. So, anyway, Andrew, I would like to start with you and a brief follow-up to yesterday's breaking news, literally breaking as we tried to start recording the show, about Apple News Today, which is the podcast that Apple has decided to spin up in conjunction with News Plus and its audio versions of the stories that are available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so It was a little confusing because there are two separate audio things going on here.
Yes.
One is that for some stories in Apple News Plus, they will have professional voice actors reading the stories. But then there is also a separate audio thing called called Apple News Today. It's in Apple Podcasts. And for this one, you know, obviously it's in podcasts. You don't need a subscription to News Plus. Mm-hmm. And the follow-up is just that today I listened to the episode. It was really nice. I liked it. You could tell it was very, like, well-executed, mm-hmm. well-planned. It's like, to me, it sounds like there's definitely some kind of separate studio for this now at Apple.
Okay.
They have an entire radio station. They have various locations and studios for various radio stations, don't they? So the setup's kind of there.
Right. They're probably just capitalizing on the Beats One setup.
You would imagine so. I obviously don't have a chance to. I don't get it here in the UK, but from what Andrew's describing, it's typically high end production from Apple. Mm-hmm. So I assume that they're using those same kind of facilities.
Yeah, I didn't think of that, but that makes total sense.
Yeah. And you said it sounded good. It sounded like useful information and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so there's two episodes so far. Each one is about 8 to 9 minutes. So this is like a bite-sized show on your morning commute, if we ever have those again.
Yeah.
They did a rundown of, at the top, maybe a 4 or 5 news articles, and then they got a little bit deeper into, you know, maybe 2 or 3 other ones.
Sure.
So, yeah, I really like that.
Yeah. I have found that I enjoy that sort of news consumption, like kind of a high level to just sort of get an idea what's going on and then be able to dig into anything, you know, more in depth later on if I so desire. I much prefer that to the fire hose that you can stand in front of if you prefer. And if you do, that's great. That has stopped working for me. I don't know if you've heard, but it's 2020. And I now have a known incompatibility with the news fire hose. So if you don't, then awesome for you. But for me, it has ceased to be effective. So
let's just say there's a reason why we talk very slowly and calmly about two different stories on this show. Let's just go with that.
Yeah,
sure, we'll say that. I'm looking forward to it as a information source, a source for information. And it sounds like it will be nice to listen to. And I'm glad that somebody with really high production standards is who's responsible for it, because I'm glad when stuff sounds good. So.
Just again, to try and get my head around it, because I don't have access, I don't believe, to either of these products. I certainly don't to the...
Well, the one is a podcast, so you should be able to get a hold of that.
I should get that, yeah. Certainly don't have to the Red News stories. In terms of, like, I'd be interested to know who's kind of, you know, presenting the podcast, because lots of publications, there's obviously the New York Times, the Daily, but there's equivalents in the UK. a lot of these kind of podcasts are fronted by the ones that sum up a, you know, a big daily news story of the kind of Apple's release, kind of have a personality and a figure at the forefront. And I don't, that's not the, Apple hasn't signed a big name journalist to produce this podcast as far as I'm aware.
As far as I'm aware too, I don't think so.
So, it's kind of an interesting way.
But I don't know, like, I don't remember their names and I don't really know anything about them.
I was led to believe it was like the News Plus curation folks, like, you know, who decides like what's on the front page of Apple News today and stuff. Like, it was up to them what stories were covered, and they just brought in, I was led to believe anyway by something, some of the previous coverage, that it was, we just brought people in who sound good to read the stuff they...
That's kind of fine. I mean, that makes total sense for the audio version of news stories. You know, just to read the copy out makes perfect sense. But obviously, a lot of the things that compel people to podcasts, and obviously the reason you all listen to this podcast is because of the host and the relationship listeners build with the host. And so it's interesting that Apple didn't decide to go, oh my God, we've paid Katie Couric a bazillion dollars and she's going to do our daily news podcast.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm surprised they didn't.
Right. I mean, that seems to be the way. I mean, maybe that will happen next. Maybe people will listen to it, then they'll get a big name. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, if you're going to do it, I would have thought you would put a big name at the front.
Yeah.
I've seen some research that kind of focus on the importance of personality in building these kind of podcasts and build that kind of relationship building. And so it's interesting that they didn't go that way.
I mean, I assume that these people will be closely working with the Apple News editorial team.
Sure. And again, that makes perfect sense for the news stories that you're writing out. I'm just surprised that there's not a front person for the podcast.
Maybe it'll evolve, or maybe there's one coming. I mean, I don't...
Right, exactly.
It's possible either of those are true. When we find that out, we will tell you more about it here on Daily Observations. When they scoop Charlotte up to be the person who reads out the news as a fantastic journalistic personality, we will be the first to miss you, Charlotte.
Yeah, it's between me and Katie and Oprah. Like, it's...
So there's a cage match? Is that what's happening? Like, is it Thunderdome? Like, I have so many questions, and I know you're not allowed whatever to tell me anything is, because of Apple's agreements. So
whatever it is, I lose.
I doubt that very much. I think you could take her. So Charlotte, I actually want to talk to you a little bit about something you've posted over at MacObserver.com, and that is...
We're moving on from cage matches now.
Well, you know, where's there to go?
You tune in for the host.
See, once you're in Thunderdome, like, that's all there is. So yeah, there's nowhere to go from there. So we're just going to move along. So you posted an excellent video about moving a bunch of apps at the same time.
I don't even think I...
Whether or not you're actually in the Thunderdome. This is an excellent way...
I don't even think I know what Thunderdome is, but it's fine. Yes, we've all had that thing, right, where you're like, I'm going to clean up my home screen on my iPhone or iPad because it's a disgusting shambles.
Yes.
We've all been there. We've all done it. But like, the annoying thing that can put you off doing it is if you want to move loads of apps, you kind of think, oh, I'm going to have to do it one by one. But actually, and I have to give you some credit for this, you are the person that told me about this technique.
I did.
I you know, everything I learned from you, Kelly. And what our glorious hostess with the mostest told me is that you can actually move multiple apps on your iPhone or iPad home screen at the same time. As case, this is a video and a little write-up on the macobserver.com and on our YouTube channel. And basically, you know, if you hold down one app that you want to move, hold it down so that, you know, the little crosses come up and everything starts wiggling and jiggling.
We've called that jiggle mode, I think, was what Hair Force One told us during the keynote.
Yeah, jiggle mode. And then there's that song.
Yeah, because there's a remix of Jiggle Mode, yeah.
And so once you're in jiggle mode, you move the... my God. you start moving the first app and then use you either think, you know, depending on your dexterity,
yes,
another finger on that hand, or it doesn't matter, you know, a tap with another finger on various other apps that you want, and you get a little blue button of like a number, mm-hmm, and it all goes into one thing, and you can move the whole multiple selected apps together at one time. It also works for things that are in the dock. So if you've like want to rearrange your dock and stuff and move them onto a separate page on your home screen, you can do that. The one thing I haven't been able to make work, and listeners tell me if I've missed a trick, is once you're selecting multiple apps, mm-hmm, I don't think you can then go into a folder. Oh no, I've just done it. You can go into a folder and move apps within a folder as well.
Excellent.
So you could basically cut and paste and move around apps at will.
Yes.
And it's a really nice way of doing it, actually, because I thought you could only move apps one by one, but a little hold and tap and you can move multiple.
Before I discovered this, I was sort of making temporary folders. Like, here's just a folder of a bunch of apps, and then drag that folder over and then drag everything back out of it again.
Right. And now you don't need to do that.
Yeah, this is far more convenient.
I think what you can't do is... I'm going to see if I can select whole folders as well. I don't think you can select whole folders this way. So you can't, like, move two full folders onto another page, but you could obviously move all the different apps. So it's pretty neat. Thank you for sharing it with me, Kelly.
You're very welcome. App management's kind of gone away. So, yes, Andrew.
I also want to point out that this also works in the Files app. So you can drag and drop multiple folders and files to wherever you please.
Nice. All right. That part that's I did awesome. Not realize, because I don't spend a ton of time in the Files app. So, that's definitely a good thing to know.
He's right.
As management of your iOS devices has sort of... as the functionality of managing them has diminished over time in iTunes, it's nice to know that there's some easy ways to do some of the stuff you used to be able to do there, like move pages of apps at a time, or drag a whole bunch of stuff onto this page, or drag the pages into different order. That used to be a thing that you could do in iTunes. It was one of the few things that I did not have any complaints about, and then they took it away. So I'm glad that there's at least some more bulk management available. That's a nice feeling, because at least you have options available. If you are a person who listens to this show and then also listened to us tell you now is not the time to install a beta on your daily driver, you still have some options as far as keeping those apps kind of organized in some fashion.
Yeah, Andrew, we need to talk about that, by the way. Your secret is out. But the what talking about iOS 14 and me ribbing Andrew about installing it and so on, it will be interesting to see how that evolves in iOS 14, because obviously you're going to have things like the app library and all the kind of very Android-like features, and it'll be interesting to see how this kind of way of multiple selecting apps works in that environment as well.
Yeah. Well, turns out we know somebody who, against all of our advice, has installed that beta, so maybe we could get them to test it out and see how it works.
Yeah.
It's me.
And also, you know, when the final full version is out and you assume it gets updated over time and so on,
sure,
it will be interesting to see how that facility evolves.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious to see it.
Because clearly in iOS 14, they're trying to make it easier to organize, batch organize apps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So we will find out about that. We will, as always, as the betas continue to evolve, we will continue to tell you not to install them. But if you do, that's me looking at Andrew, we may have some assistance for you in that regard, and at least you'll have a good idea what you're in for when the official version is released. So thank you Charlotte for sharing that tip with us. Thank you for doing the video.
Thank you for sharing it with me.
Well, the video is what makes it magic, so everybody should go check that out. Right now, I'd like to take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Raycon. They make earbuds for Charlotte. They are stemless. They do not have the form factor of AirPods, so they're super duper comfortable. The microphone on them is nice for taking calls. They have a lot of bass, so when you are listening to bass heavy music like I have a tendency to do, then they sound really great. They connect beautifully with your phone. I've connected them to my computer as well, and they were super great there. And they have what's called passive noise cancellation, because they have the little ear tips that are silicone that you stick in your ear, so they block a certain amount of noise just because they're kind of blocking everything in your ears. I've worn them outside doing yard work. I've worn them inside listening to stuff on my computer, doing things around the house with earbuds in, and they're super duper great. I really like the sound quality of them, and I do like how comfortable they are. Like, you kind of forget that they're there because they're not pressing on your ear in a weird way. They're not super heavy, and they don't have any sort of weird stuff that's like putting pressure in weird points on your ear. So they're super comfortable. They sound really good. And the one of the many nice qualities that they have is that they start at about half the price of other premium wireless earbuds. And not only do they start a lot cheaper, but you can get an extra deal by getting 15% off your order by being a TDO listener. If you go to buyraycon.com/TDO, buyraycon.com/TDO, you can get 15% off the regular price of a pair of earbuds. And again, that's buyraycon.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank Raycon for sponsoring the show today. Now, we have a few minutes left, and I want to talk to Andrew about a weird tweet that came out yesterday that a number of people may have seen, whether it was because it was from Elon Musk or because it was from Bill Gates, or it was Apple.
It wasn't Andrew.
No, it was not Andrew. I will say that. But it was an interesting tweet. And Andrew, I'd like to have you tell us more about it.
Yeah, so we would have saved this for Security Friday, but since it just happened yesterday, we want to tell you all about it as soon as possible. So basically, yesterday, there was a big Twitter hack, and multiple accounts like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Apple's account, Joe Biden, they all tweeted out the same message, which is, we're giving back to the community. And for the next 30 minutes, if you send me $1,000 in Bitcoin, I will send you back $2,000. And an important distinction, this is all over now, but a good distinction is that these individual accounts weren't themselves hacked. What happened is, from one report I saw, was that there was some social engineering going on. So they tricked some high-level Twitter employee and got access to this special internal tool. And it was some kind of tool that also had to do with Twitter verification.
Yeah.
Because for a while, Twitter shut down and made it so that verified accounts with the blue check mark couldn't tweet anything until, you know, they were able to figure it out.
Yeah. I know a few verified people, and this got locked down before the news went very wide. So I know a number of people that were like, I don't know why. And it made it look like you're posting content that you shouldn't be posting, so don't post it or something like that. And then someone else got an error about this looks like it could be automated, so you don't get to post it. And it was, and so like there were a number of different sort of weird error messages people were getting, and nobody knew why. And like, this, I don't know why I'm not supposed to post about this. Like, I haven't posted anything else today. I don't know why it thinks this would be automated. And then that was when the news started to break, kind of like hot on the heels of all these people with blue checks going, why can't I post anything? Was guess what, the tool that we use to like monitor verified accounts got broke into. So yeah.
So right now we don't know who is responsible, and I don't know the exact number, but they were able to get away with over 100,000 in bitcoins.
Now, part of that, I think, and this is just a theory of my own, is that I think the account they started with was Elon Musk. And to be fair, this does sound exactly like something Elon Musk would do. So I think that was where it started, and I think it's probably because people who regularly follow Elon Musk and listen to him all the time probably went, yeah, that sounds like something he would do. Of course, I'll send him $1,000 in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So I think the because they started with an account that was very likely from, you know, seeing it come from at Apple, which is the one that I saw, I went, that seems weird. And like, yeah, definitely put, you know, definitely, it, you know, I set off the alarms, you know.
Yeah.
Well, so I think there's that's I think it's because of where they started. Like, yeah, it sounds reasonable. Sounds like a thing he would do.
Yeah, but especially it's weird when Apple, the Apple account did it, because they don't tweet at all. The only thing they do on Twitter is follow, I think, their other Apple services, and they release ads on Twitter about, you know, latest products.
Yeah.
There's a variety of Apple accounts, aren't there?
Yeah.
The one that you're talking about, which is literally at Apple, which I assume they just got so no one else could have it.
Right, it's name studding.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's the main one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, as you say, has never been used, probably never will be used,
right,
just is there. But there are, like, there's all support ones and different things, aren't there, that are, and, you know, country-specific accounts and stuff, which I think are used.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Apple support posts things on the regular, and then Apple country names. Yeah, they do.
But if you looked at that Apple account and were like, this seems like a weird first tweet.
Yes.
You would have been right.
Indeed.
The thing, as this was unfolding, I was, you know, getting ready to go to bed and trying not to doom scroll as the doom was scrolling.
Yes.
It struck me, actually, that we were quite lucky that they just tried to use this power to only get some money and some Bitcoin.
Because
once you've taken over Bloomberg, the Democratic presidential nominee, and, a billionaire, never mind that, you know, one of the biggest companies in the world in Apple, once you've taken over their a communication channel of them, you've got quite a lot of power at that point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the prospect of what could have been is quite scary if you think too much about it.
Yes. So I'm glad that the people that took it over lacked the vision to do anything of consequence. So I think that's good. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you both for being here. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
And again, go check out that video. It makes a lot of sense when you can see it on the screen, and Charlotte both shows you what her hands are doing as well as what the screen looks like. So it works out pretty well. And Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you back. And stay tuned tomorrow for Security Friday. As Andrew mentioned, we do have other stuff to discuss there. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.